We're going to focus on two psukim in the parsha that we read last Shabbos, and that's in Dvarim Perchof Hei, psukim Beis and Gimel. The Torah says, V'hayim bin Hakos HaRosha, and the Torah is introducing the Chi of Malkus, V'ipilo HaShofet V'ikol Lefonav Kidei Rishoso B'mispar. The word b'mispar here at the end of Pasuk Beis, as you'll notice, is kind of dangling. It's hanging in midair. It should say b'mispar arboim yakenu. And that's going to be one of the main features of the Mefarshim, the Gemara in Makis on Daf Chof Beis. Why did the Torah split b'mispar from arboim? Anyway, let's read Pasuk Gimel. Arboim yakenu lo yosif. This is also going to be a major topic of our discussion. We don't find that the Torah has to rewrite Lo Yosef over and over and over again. We've had it already with Lo Yosef, as we'll soon see. And then the Torah says, Pen Yosef la kosal eila makarabah v'niklo achicha le'enech. So we want to begin our discussion with a famous, famous Rambam. This Rambam is quite revolutionary, and it's going to be the subject of a discussion tonight. Just by way of background, not necessarily related to this Rambam, I looked in the Sefer Achinuch. I found something fascinating in Mitzvah Tov Kuf Tzadi Dal. We're really at the end of the Torah here. And you know that the Chinuch always tells you the Sharshad Mitzvah, the root of the Mitzvah. He says, in this case, Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef, Lufishi Yisrael Nikroim Bonev Shel Mokom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion on the people of Israel. That's a funny kind of concept in the context of giving 40 lashes. But he says, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyasram. You know, it's like a father who sometimes out of love has to strike a child. Al Averos Kadesh Yashuvu Elov. In order for the situation to rectify itself, in this case that the criminal should repent and come back and return to his creator. V'yizku be'achrona, and as a result of this, at the end of the process, the criminal will be zocher ba'olam shekulo tov, he'll have a place in the world to come. And the Sefer Achinuch quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, which the Gemara at the beginning of Makis quotes, Yaser Bincha. The Gemara quotes that Pasuk to prove that if a father inadvertently killed his son while he was hitting him in order to be Miyaser him, in order to bring him back to the Derech HaYoshar, he doesn't go into Golus because it's not Dum Yadiyar, it's not a Hakoshel Rishus like Yar, but rather a Kakoshel Mitzvah. So in a similar way, we have, let's say we can make an analogy between two types of Hakoshel Mitzvah. One is the Hakoshel Mitzvah of a human being who is fulfilling his responsibility as an authority figure to make sure that his subject, whether it be the case of a ben and a father vis-a-vis a son, the case of a Rebbe vis-a-vis a Talmud, to straighten them out. And we have a similar story with regard to the Ribbono Shel Olam playing the role, as it were, as father, commanding us to mete out a punishment of our Arboim Yakenu to the criminal in order to guarantee that the criminal do tshuva and instead of dying, he will live through Malkus Arboim. You see another chiddush here in the chinuch, besides the Sharshei Mitzvah and this analogy to Yaser Bincha, you see another chiddush here that basically a person who violates a chiyuv Malkus is chay of Misa. The Torah was compassionate and alleviated, substituted for the Misa Malkus. And that might have various repercussions down the line. But let's get back to the subject of tonight's Shia, and that's the Rambam. We love the Rambam, right? The Rambam opens up Perek Yud Zayin by asking the question that we thought we had an answer to because we read the Pasuk in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, Kama Malkin es Hamechuyav of Malkus, how many Malkus should a person get if he violated a lav? And the Rambam says there's no set answer to that question. It's not standard. it's not objective. But rather, kafi kocho, he means kafi kocho shalam achuyev malchus. He may be very weak in his constitution, he can't take 39 malchus. He may be strong in his constitution, he can take the whole 9 yards. In this case, more than just 9. Shenemar kidei rishaso b'mispar. Interesting. The Rambam quotes the end, the last three words in Pasuk Beis, kidei rishaso b'mispar, which means that the Torah is being deliberately vague by using the word b'mispar in Pasuk Beis in order to convey the message that it's not always the case that X number of malchus will be meted out. Rather, it's a subjective standard. But then in the next pasuk, which the Rambam immediately quotes, Arboim Yakenu, says the Rambam, V'zeh Shenemar Arboim. What does it mean by Arboim? It cannot mean exactly Arboim, because in the case of a weak constituted person, he will not get Arboim, he can't tolerate Arboim. But the meaning of the word Arboim, says the Rambam, is She'ein Mosifin Al Arboim, that Arboim is the maximum you can give. Vafilu ayachazak ubari kishimshon, he could be as healthy as Shimshon Agibar, but the max is going to be 40 malchus. In the case of a chalosh, of a weak person, chalosh ain't pofsin, we have to give him less than 40. So if I would stop here and ask you the question, how many malchus should be meted out to someone who's like Shimshon Agibar, the impression you get, and the answer you should give me is 40. And that's not only the answer of the Rambam, that's also the answer of the Torah. Well, okay. So we're worried about not giving two malchus in the case of a chalash, and the Torah therefore says the maximum is going to be 40, but it's not always 40. In the case of a gibor, it should be 40. And that's where the buck should stop. 40 is the magic number. But the Rambam doesn't complete his presentation until he says the following. Lefichach amru chachamim. Since we have to guarantee that we don't exceed the number of malchus that a person should be getting, so the chachamim said, afilu abori dioser, even this specimen called Shimshon Agibar, who's in the wrestling matches, makinoso tisha ushloshim, will give him 39 malchus. Why? She'im nosif lo achas. The Torah is concerned about going overboard. So the worst case scenario, we gave him one additional makah. Nimtze shelo iko ela arboim haruios lo. He ends up with the exact number that he should be getting. We're going to whittle it down by one. And why the Chachamim want to institute that is in order to guarantee that in the worst case scenario, if his mistake is made of one makah, again, let's hope there's not more than, if that's two is a big problem, but if he makes a mistake on one makah and he goes overboard, he ends up with the 40 aruyos lo, which is exactly what he should be getting. And the pashtus in the Rambam, Amru Chachamim, sounds like the Rambam is talking about a din derabanan. You'll probably find the phrase Amru Chachamim tens, if not hundreds of times in the Rambam in his Yad HaChazakah, and the Rambam always consistently utilizes that term Amru Chachamim for a din derabanan. If this leads the Minchas Chinuch to object to this Rambam as we could do so ourselves even without the Minchas Chinuch, says the Minchas Chinuch Mevur B'Torah D'Malkus Arboim. However, Rabbanan say we'll only give him Lamentes. Offhand, the reason we give him Lamentes, he classifies it, the Minchas Chinuch, as a limud gomor. Because the Gemara says in Makkos on Chaf Beis, b'misfar arboim, which means a number that comes close to arboim, as we'll soon see. For who limud gomor? For who min Torah? And therefore the Malkus is only 39. Acha Rambam kan, b'perek yitzayin aloch ha'alef kosav, l'fichof omru chachomi makino solamites. And it's migder milsa, it's a siag, in order to prevent us from violating Lo Yosef. Because if we would start with 40, then heaven forbid we might give him 41, and violate the lav of Lo Yosef. We have to make a harchok, a siag, to avoid that possibility. And therefore the Chachomim say, give him 39. And therefore the Kesef Mishnah submits that the Rambam is of the opinion that the Alfusa of Bimisfar Arboim, meaning it's like Arboim, is only an Asmachta. That's not a full-fledged Drasha Doraisa. And therefore, we're talking about a Derabbanan. So the Halach of 39 Malchus is a Derabbanan. Ach Tzarech Iyun, says the Minchas Nidre, I don't understand. Heich Yecholim Chazal Lakar Dovra Mefurish Betora Legabre Mishum Siyak. You have a concept of Asu Siyag LaTorah. The Chachamim are authorized to institute Harchakos and Siyagos, but not to change what it says in the Torah. You want to add a Chumrah, that's fine. But the Torah says that in order for him to be punished properly, he should get 40 Malkus. The Rambam doesn't deny it. Nor of us, you're worried about 41 Malkus? Okay, that's okay, but the Torah's not worried about that. You can't violate the Torah law. Where do the Chachamim have the capacity and the authority to be oker legamre what it says in the Torah? The Chachamim could say, don't take a shofar when Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos, etc., etc., gzeira d'rabba. Fine. But they're not being oker in the midst of shofar, chas v'shalom. In all other days of the week, we will blow the shofar. But to contravene the law of the Torah of Arboim Yakenu, where do the Rabbanan have such a power? And what I want to do with you is learn and study a number of different mefarshim, all of whom really grapple this with this problem. And the first is the Malbim. The Malbim writes, Mevur Bidvarov. We understand from the Rambam that when the Pasuk says, B'misfar Arboim, it means guarantee that it'll only be Arboim. That's tight, according to the Malbim's understanding of the Rambam, in what the Torah is saying. When the Torah says, B'misfar Arboim, it's telling you, again, I need the Chachamim to interpret the Pasuk, but the true, accurate interpretation of B'misfar Arboim is to mete out Malchus in such a way that it'll only be Arboim and not more than Arboim. We count one Makkah after the other, but maybe the Shliach Bezdin, as he meets out the Malchus, will make a mistake of one. So therefore, in order to guarantee that only 40 at the maximum Malchus will be given, if we allow for him, the Shliach Bezdin, to give 40, he may make a mistake in one Makkah, in one number, and he ends up giving him 41. That's not good. Vizeo Shomer HaKosav, and that's what the Torah means when it says at the very end of Pasuk Beis, V'kol lefanov kidei risho b'misfar. What does b'misfar mean? Again, it's a vague term. What exactly is that number? Kamahu ha-misfar? And then you have to fast forward to Pasuk Gimel, and that's when the Torah reveals the secret, Arboim Yakenu lo Yosef. In other words, the Torah is saying, guarantee that that misfar will not go beyond Arboim. And the only way of guaranteeing that is by giving 39, because if there's a human error of 1, then bingo, we've hit the number 40, which is okay. And this is what the Gemara means in Makas Chaf Beis when it says, misfar shehu sokem es Arboim, meaning it's mashlim the number Arboim. Says the Malbim, you know what the Gemara means by saying that this number is mashlim Arboim? It's an indication that it's 39 and not 40. That 39 is coming to make sure that in the worst case scenario, you won't be 40. Vizeo sha'amar haramam lefichach amru chachamim. What does amru chachamim mean? Not what you and I think. Not what the Kesef Mishnah thinks. Not what the Minchas Chinuch thinks. But what the Rambam means is that the chachamim told us Lamdu came in a mikra that we have to touch up the pasuk is saying b'misfar, meaning a certain vague misfar, but it shouldn't exceed Arboim, and therefore you guarantee that it won't exceed Arboim, and the only way you can do that is by dropping down to 39. Aval be'emes zeu min haTorah. In other words, the Malbim was so pressed by the question of the Minchas Chinuch, he too, like the Minchas Chinuch, could not understand how the Chachamim could possibly have the authority, nay, the audacity to say that you give 39 when the Torah says 40? And the answer is because this is what the Torah means. The Chachamim are only playing a role to interpret the Torah. I always say that, you know, the Gemara, this is on the side, the Gemara in Shabbos Peiches talks about the famous controversy between the Malachi Asharis and Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Malachi Asharis say, what is this Yeludisha doing up here in heaven? How's he going to get the Torah? Give the Torah to us. And Moshe Rabbeinu gives the obvious answer. You know, the Torah is not shaykh to the Malachi Asharis. But I think perhaps what the Malachi Asharis were asking for and demanding is that the interpretation of the Torah should be left up to Shamayim. And the answer is, lo b'shamayim hi, that the Torah will be interpreted by the Chachamim, but when the Chachamim interpret the Torah, we're talking about a Doraisa. And that's what the Malbim summarizes in his last short paragraph. He says, b'kitzer, to summarize it, das haram de malkino so lamentes legeder, the lav de lo Yosef. This means that lo Yosef here is teaching me the geder, that we have to make sure that we don't exceed beyond 40. And how do we do so? Shal yuchal lov lideo safa, that would go beyond the number that he's chai of that's 40. And therefore, if we give 40 and Yosef lo achas, it becomes 41. But if we give 39, he says, afilu im Yosef lo achas, is Yakeu Arboim Haru'uyim Vizehu Min HaTorah. So we have now a very interesting machlokes, how to interpret the Rambam. Did the Rambam understand that the Chachom have the right to be Oker Dovim Min HaTorah Mishum Siad, to reduce the number of Malkus from 40 to 39? Which I find, frankly, very difficult. Not just because of the Lecha Mishnah, but over and over again we see throughout the Sugyas and Shas that the precise onesh that the Torah meets out to a criminal will guarantee, and it's pinpointed, the kapara for the chait. If you're going to reduce 40 to 39, I'm not sure exactly whether you'll achieve the goal of kapara. Every onesh is a kapara. That's why the Gemara says, ein onshim min adin. If you have someone who did a worse avera, we're not even going to give him the lesser punishment, because by giving him the lesser punishment, we're going to have to guarantee him kapara for a more serious crime with a lesser punishment. Comes along the Malbim and he says, name. When the Rambam says, omru chachamim, he doesn't mean what you think he means. He doesn't mean what he means, umetum. He doesn't mean that it's a drabanan and a siag. He means that this is how the Rabbanan understood the Krah. And if so, the Rambam is not only loyal to what the Torah had in mind for 39 Malkus, but he's also loyal to what the Gemara says, that b'mispar, it's a mispar that's sokeh mes arboim, which means it comes close to arboim. Says the Rambam, the reason for that is to guarantee that it won't exceed beyond arboim. I want to suggest a more philosophical approach to the number 39, which I get from the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar here, Afanar, says the following, that there is an inner logic. Again, when I say logic, we're not talking about the rational logic of a scientist or a mathematician, but there's a certain Torah-type logic, call it Remez, in the number 39. Why? Lefi shekafar bi'echad. First and foremost, we have to define the nature of Avera. Every Avera is a kfira, is a rebellion against Echad, against the one above. And the word Echad in Gematria is 13. So we start with the number 13 by defining the nature of the Avera. And then, the Avera is not just on this, the criminal act is not just on this specific Avera, but really what the man is saying is, you know what? I don't feel compelled to respect the authority of the Torah in general. So in a pratala klal, and what is the klal? That's represented by the number 13 as well. Because HaTorah Nidreshes B'Yud Gimel Midos. And you see something very fascinating from this Kli Yakar, is that the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidreshes B'Hen is not just some sort of technical rule, but it really defines the very essence of the Torah. The Torah was given with an inherent rule of 13. And finally, he says the 13 represents another concept, and that is a mered, a rebellion against oneself. A Jew has a very existential connection to the mitzvahs. It's a natural connection to the mitzvahs. It begins at a very young age when the Yetzer HaTov becomes powerful. The Yetzer HaRa comes in at birth. But the Yetzer HaTov, to count the 13 years of Yetzer HaRa, and maybe that's the way we should look at our children when they misbehave, is that all of a sudden a person is imbued, endowed with the Yetzer HaTov, and now the mitzvahs of the Torah should be meaningful for him, should be natural. He should not feel that they're alienated, that he has to stand up and rebel against them. That's called the number 13, Yud Gimel Shon. So multiply 13 by 3. This is an aver against Echad. This is a denial of the authority of the Torah. That's Yud Gimel. And also, it's a fight against the Yetzer Hara, excuse me, the Yetzer Tov, at the age of Yud Gimel. 3 times 13 is 39. And not only that, the man is short of 40. 40 is the age of Bina. The Gemara says that if you want to absorb the Torah of your Rebbe, sit by him for 40 years. Rabosa, I have a friend who was in the Rav Shir for 18 years. But I don't know anyone in our day and age who learns by a Rebbe for 40 years. But maybe in Clanton Park or somewhere else you know such a person. In any event, 40 is the magic number of Bina. Ben Arboyim with Bina. And not only that, the Torah introduces this parash of Malkus, for Hoya im bin Hakos HaRosha, Beis Nun is Bina, the number 40. This man is short of Bina. If he would have been more thought out and contemplative, he would have stopped there instead of moving forward impetuously and violate the crime. So he's Samuch, but not quite at the number 40. He falls shy of the number 40. Again, all these are Bederech, Drush, and Remez to explain something once it's a given. Don't misunderstand me. I don't believe for one moment that the logic of the Kli Yoker is something that could justify the limud of the Chachamim that there are only 39 Malkus. But once we have the limud, now ask me the question, why 39? And here, Al Pi Drush, I think the Kli Yoker has done a brilliant, brilliant job. The Maral, on the same line or approach, is also looking for some sort of significance to the number 39. And moreover, he's bothered by the fact that the Torah didn't just write, you know, say what you mean. Why didn't the Torah just say 39, Shloshim v'teisha yakenu? In fact, we might end up with saving a little bit of ink. Says the Maral, that Bevadai, he really should get 40. And why is the magic number 40? Because 40 represents the Yetziras HaVlad. Natural man is symbolized by the number 40. This, by the way, which is a Gemara Nida, has implications as far as Hapalot. How do you say it in English? Hapalot. You know, when you kill the fetus, what's that called? Okay. Before the baby reaches 40 days old. Abortion. Oh, that's the word I mean. Abortion. Finally, it popped into my head. However, Chazal tell us that something very magical happens on that 40th day. The 39 days from conception develop the potential human being as a biological entity. The 40th day is the day in which that biological entity is now imbued in a kind of a marriage relationship with his neshama. The neshama is the 40th day. The first 39 days represent the health and the potential health of the physical biological body. The goof, the body, is the source of sin. The neshama is not interested in sinning. The neshama is chelek elokam imal. The Yetzer Hara comes from the body, not from the neshama. And therefore, although Arboim represents Yakena, meaning the 40th day of the Yetzirah Savlad, which introduces the neshama, that should also be, the unification of the guf and the neshama should also be subject to this punishment, because now a mature person who's both a guf and a neshama sinned, and therefore the chiyuv malchus should be arba'im. But the answer is that 39 is enough to punish the guf. 39 is enough to purify and uplift the physical element of man, which is responsible and is the source of sin. Once the 39th makkah is meted out, the guf is already purified and uplifted. And therefore, to add the 40th makkah would be to be mitzarif the neshama to this punishment. There's no longer a need to be mitzarif the neshama, says the Maral. But lamentes makos, husar hacheit min aguf, umemela, the neshama now could be pure, independent of the guf. The guf has been uplifted, the neshama is neshama tahora, ein bo prisus, Shia herself is now completely pure, disconnected from sin, there's no need to mete out the 40th makkah and punish the neshama together with the guf. Again, Rabosai, it's not going to explain the drasha, but it's very deep. And I'm sure that there are layers and layers here of meaning, you know, hafokhba, hafokhba, shivim panam la Torah, the Torah's pshat, remez, drush, and sod. I mean, I don't even think we scratched the surface and the tip of the iceberg of this maral. And this maral, it is this pirush al Torah. In his very famous Sefer Be'er HaGola, the Maral goes even a step further. And he says that if you look at the Pasuk, there's a hefsek between the word B'mispar and the word Arba'im. They should have been connected, which is what the Gemara points out at the end of Makkos. And if it would have said B'mispar Arba'im in one breath without a pause, then I would have come to the conclusion that we have to count one makkah and another makkah and keep counting until we finally, bingo, hit the number 40. That's the word mispar. Mispar means miloshen sfira, counting one by one. So the counting of the makkos, if it would have said the mispar arboim, would be to count up until and including the number 40. But davar ze eino, ki kashu malko so besofer echad echad echad, Eina makas arboim, lachein machalik milas misfar min arboim, vi omar arboim yakena klomer sheyesh lev onesh arboim yakena. Ava kasher makos so v'sofer echad echad, eina makos ela lamites. The Maral presents a thesis that the reason why the Torah deliberately separated the word b'misfar from the word arboim is to tell you that we're not going to count one after one after one until we hit 40, but rather we're going to separate the word misfar from the misfar from the word arboim, and by making that split, we can understand that he has an onesh of arboim, but the misfar, meaning the counting, is not going to reach arboim. If we would have said b'misfar arboim, count until you reach the number 40. And that's the last makkah. But no, we're going to count, but it's not going to reach 40. That's the separation of the pause between b'misfar and arboim. Kasher makos, so v'sof rechad echad, ein ha-makos ela lamites. The Torah wants to tell you that the final number is 39. Rabosai, now I want to get to my favorite part of our discussion, the Divrei Yechezkel. The Divrei Yechezkel, Rabbi Yechezkel Bornstein, was a Rosh Hashiva in Slabodka back in Lita. And usually he analyzes halachic sugyas. He was a first-class lamdan. Very rarely do we hear his Torah beyond the world of lamdas and halach. But this is a marvelous piece. And if you haven't gotten the impression yet, I'm very excited about it. He begins with an agadita in Masechta Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, Tova mardus achas belibo shel adam yoser mikama malkios. Rashi writes, mardus achas lashon ridui vehachno shel adam some elibo me'elov. The key word here in Rashi, which is going to shed a light on this very obscure Gemara, is me'elov. Meaning, You know what? The word makos, the concept of makos, fits into two different categories. There's makos that are externally meted out by the Shliach Beis Din, but then there's an internal maka. A maka me'elav that a person brings upon himself deliberately. And that maka, which is called in the Lashon of the Shas, mardus, says Rashi, mardus miloshon ridui, means when I subjugate myself, when I machnia myself, when a person realizes, hey, you're not all you think you are, you're all blown up a little bit, deflate your ego a bit, and go down to the level of achna. It reminds me of the Rashi at the beginning of Perek Ein Omdim in Brachos, who says, Bilvad she'chaven es libo l'shamayim in tefila, and Rashi said, I meant to say Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Yonah says there in Ein Omdim means achna. The proper intention and attitude of tefila is achna. A person bows to express hachna. You know what? Which is more important? 39 malkus that are meted out externally by the Shliach Beis Din in order to bring a person to hachna, or that one maka of hachna, that one ridui atzmi when a person subjugates himself? Klomar, hey emes shemina shamayim anishim es harosha bekama makas halavonosov. There are different sets of punishments that are brought down by the heavenly court. What's the ultimate goal and the purpose of every onesh is that a person himself should come to acknowledge that what he did was not right, that he rebelled against the Melech Malchi Amlochim. Who is the Melech Malchi Amlochim? The Melech Malchi Amlochim is the infinite king of all universes, the creator of all universes. And you rebelled against the king? That awareness is what we call mardus achas, belibo shel odom. And it's worth more than all the malchus we can mete out to him, all the punishments that we can mete out to him. Because this is something genuine, it's internal, it comes from within. And therefore, in the case of Beis Din, when Beis Din is meeting out for the Chote Malchus, their goal is to bring him to a state of mardus, meaning to a state of ridui. They want to lower him. Get the message, my friend. Do tshuva. Realize that you are rebellious against God. But what thoughts should cross the mind of the nilke, the person who's getting malchus, when he receives the malchus? Bechashvo, here the Rosh Hashiva, the Divrei Yecheskel, wax is very poetic. Eche azdi, how did I have the chutzpah? Limrod kineged ritzono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To stand up and rebel against the will of God? Asher kol sarfei mala, the greatest of angels in the heavenly spheres, mitzapim, they long for, miyachalim, they crave, masai yizku lishma, if they can only hear, ezitzivui, God, I'm waiting for the command. I'm like a soldier waiting for my commander to tell me what to do. Sheyuchlu l'kayim ritzona bori yisbarach shemo. And I'm a little pipsqueak here, a mosquito on the top of an elephant here, and I go and rebel against God. So this is the goal of Beis Din meeting out Lamentes Melachos. And finally, if the goal is achieved, if the man takes the message to heart, and he truly feels regret about his rebellion against Almighty God, who bietzem nosen li atzmo, who meets out the last maka? And ena mitzvah nikreis shel gomrah, the maka v'patish is more important than all the blows that came before. The maka v'patish is the 40th blow. That's the mardus achas, the libo shel adam. That's the mardus that a person brings upon himself when he finally is machnia himself. And therefore, miduyokim em divri chachamenu lahafli. That because the Torah says, arboim yakenu, chachamim understood, beruach hakodesh. And I think he's on the line here of the Malbim, that this is Chazal's interpretation of the pasuk, that the most chashuv makah is that last makah, arboim. And why is that? Because Beis Din meets out 39 malchus, but those are all a means to an end. The ultimate goal and purpose is that by adding together these 39 malchus, it's mitzvah. Finally, we get to the last makah, which is the makah that a person meets out to himself. That's the clincher. That's the 40th makah. That's the ikar shebikarim. And if you'll ask me in the last paragraph here on the right side before we go up to the top left, how did Chazal know that the Torah meant that Beis Din should be out 39 malkas and the 40th malka is what the person supplements himself? Mardus achas bilivo. Maybe the Torah means 40 akenu. Beis Din should be out 40 malkas. And then, after the 40th malka, the individual who's receiving the blows will wake up and add the clincher, the makas achas bilivo. And here he says again something very brilliant. I hope you could read it. It's on the top left. He says, "Venire." It seems to me, Shechachameinu zal niskashu b'pasuk zeh. What was that problem with this pasuk? Madua bachra Torah kedosha lahazir dafka v'mitzvah protezu shalolahos. A brilliant kasha. We mentioned it in the outset. Lo Yosef. By the way, the Torah says Lo Yosef twice over here. Lo Yosef, Ben Yosef. Very strange. Harei lav zek farzira Torah kedosh al kol mitzvahs v'Torah. He refers back to Parshas Rei in Dvarim Yud Gimel. It says, "Es kol adorah shenok mitzvah chosu." Whenever I command you, Lo Yosef. The Torah says, "Arboim yakena." Who needs another warning of Lo Yosef? V'imnomer sheyesh kan siva miucheres lachzor al atzivui. If there's some sort of compelling reason for the Torah to have to repeat itself in Ben Yosef here in this context, im kein tzarech bir madu zira Torah rak shelo Yosef lo zira shelo ligro mi'arboim amalkus. If there's some reason why the Torah wants to say dafka 40 exactly, punkt, not less and not more, as the Torah says back in Dvarim Yud Gimel, lo Yosef and lo sigra. So then, why did the Torah say lo Yosef or lo sigra? Hatir Tzalzei says, what's the answer to this whole puzzle? Is that from here Chazal learned that when it says Arboim Yakena, what it really means is that meet out befall 39 Malkus. And then, through the 39, we'll get to 40 with the Mardis Achas Belivo Shaladam. That's going to be Mashlu the Mispar Arboim. And therefore the Torah says Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef. What does it mean Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef? Klomar. Don't misunderstand Arboim Yakenu Shebezdin Yaku Oso Arboim Malkus. Don't think it means that Bezdin has to meet out the 40 Malkus. And then for the 41st, there'll be the self-inflicted Mardus Achas Belivo, which is more important than the first 40. Because if that be the case, Ki Oz Atamosif La Koso Shelo Kedin. When the Torah says Lo Yosef, it means that if you give him the 40th Makkah, you've already violated Lo Yosef. But rather the Kavanah is that give him 39, Bimitzaref the Hashlama of the 40th, which is Mardus Achas Belivo. And now we understand that the Lo Yosef means don't add the 40th in order to bring him to the state of 40. Because if you add the 40th, you're already getting up to 41. So the Lo Yosef tells me not to go beyond 40. Keep in mind that one of the 40 has got to be his own self-inflicted makas, mardus, belivo. In order to guarantee that Lo Yosef, you have to make sure that you don't go beyond 39 so that you have the perfect number of 40. And then he adds as a clincher, sort of like the icing on the cake, the Ramban, who in our parsha says that the number 40 parallels the 40 yom shenitna lehem haTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up for 40 days to get the Torah, and the Ramban says keneged 40 yom shenitzius havlad, which we've already seen in the Maral Miprag. And therefore shalocha havlad lochas al atzmo shenivra biyat lamed yom. So now he adds all the symbolic allusions and significance to the number 40. V'zeu she'osef hakosa, now the clincher, pen Yosef la'kosa al eile maka rabba v'nikla achicha le'imecha. Say Chazal, kishaloka hareyu ka'achicha. Now we understand what it means. When the Torah says pen Yosef la'kosa, it means if you'll give him 40 malkas befall, then v'nikla achicha le'imecha, you're causing him in such a way to
or I say you the shliach are being makeh someone who's already achicha. The purpose of the malchus is to get to the point where he becomes achicha v'nikla achicha v'inecha. If you violate Pen Yosef, which means you go beyond the 39 and you beat out the 40th lash, you are hitting someone who's already achicha. You've gone beyond the accomplishment and the goal of the malchus, which is to make him into achicha v'nikla achicha k'inecha k'mat shalaka harehu k'achicha. Rabosai, again, in my humble opinion, I mean, he doesn't need my eskama. This is a piece you should review over and over again. It is such a stunning, magnificent piece. But finally, just to complete the circle, one of the contemporaries here who wrote a book called Eretz HaTzvi says the following. And he has a very interesting sugya in the Gemara and Shabbos to support his interpretation. So I have here a Gemara Shabbos, which I'm ready to take out and open up. He says the following. Arbon yakenu v'asur abonu bitzu chad. The Gemara establishes that we have to subtract 1 from 30, from 49 down to 39. He says, ha-remez b'zeh, she'ish ha-yisraeli eino chote chet sholem she'yiyah kulo rasha. The Torah wants to convey to us a message about the nature and the essence of a Jew. Even a Jew who's a criminal, and again, this is very hard for us to swallow because unfortunately, many of us have had encounters with people that have not been the greatest. But, you know, the Torah is teaching us and training us to look at it with a different eye. He says, there's no such thing, says the Torah, of a chote chet sholem. A chet sholem, a complete chet, total, 100% chet, does not exist. Not at least in the Jewish world, it doesn't exist. He says, Mikar din chayv harboin malchus. A sin incurs a punishment of 40 malchus. But there is no pure sin. There's always an admixture, he says, of minakotz al akotz, at least a hair's breadth, of schus, of, shall we say, gutzkeit, goodness in every sin. And he proves this from a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara in Shabbos speaks about the various praklitim who come to defend the criminal in Shamayim. And the Gemara says that afilu tshameos v'tishim v'tisha melamdim all of chova, even if there are 999 makatrigim in the upper heavenly spheres, but the echad, but there's one praklit, one defense attorney, shemelamdim all of schus nitzal. So offhand, what we're saying is that there are various heavenly offices in the court, and the large preponderant majority say that this guy's guilty. But there's one Melitz Yosher who says he's innocent, and even though he represents 1,000th of the court, nevertheless, the Pasuk in Eov teaches us, in Yeshalav Malach Melitz, it means Echad Mini Elef, one against, one out of 1,000, 999 are saying he's guilty, Lahagid Liodam Yoshro, is the Pasuk says, Vayichunenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him divine grace. Rabbi Eliezer ben Bino Shel Rabbi Yosi Haglil Omer, Afilu Teisha Meos V'Tisha V'Tisha Meoso Malach Lechova. In other words, there's only one Malach over here, and this is the Malach HaMelitz. He's the Melitz Yosher upstairs in heaven. Right? You always are familiar with what we say when we the final goodbye to someone who's being buried, you know, be a Melitz Yosher. So the Melitz Yosher, who's really the good guy, who's finding the good, finds and admits the truth that 999 hundredths are lechova. But yet, Taina Achas, he has one title, Ischus, is Nitzel. Shenemar Melitz Echad Bidei Olef. In other words, that very same Melitz finds one tzad of schus, even though he himself, this Melitz Yosher, confessed and admitted to 999 lechova, the man is saved in the judgment above. So the Eretz HaTzvi quotes the Marsha. The Marsha asks the obvious question. Chazal say that every time a person does a mitzvah, he creates a malach ha-melitz. When he does an avera, he creates a malach ha-mashkus. Here the Gemara is saying, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that there's such a thing as one single malach who is both a melitz and a mashkus at the same time. How could there be? How could one malach be both a malach created by a zchus and at the same time fakered by a chova? Says the Marsha that apparently the aver itself generates two kinds of malachim, a malach hamashkis and a malach tov. Every avera has its side tov. Yesh avera she'eino kulo ra, el yesh ba gam tzad tov. He quotes the Gemara in Nazir that a Nazir has to bring a karma chatos because he's chote al nefesh, but yet the Nazir has so many schuyot. He speaks about the case of Yosef, Mechiras Yosef. Was the Mechir of Yosef completely evil without any dimension whatsoever of good? After all, as a result of Mechiras Yosef, Yosef was able to save the entire world, including the Yachim, B'shnei Arav. How could that be? What good could get out of something so evil as the sale of Yosef? The answer is that apparently there's a tarovis of some tzad hatov, because the Mechiras Yosef was because they thought that just like Esav and Yishmael were rejected, they were being rejected by Yosef. He's the Yama Nivchar, and they are completely cut out of Knesset Yisrael, as the Sfarah describes it. And they were so pained by that. Just the idea, to entertain the idea that they would be excluded from Klal Yisrael, and that's why they did what they did. And therefore some good came out of it. Yosef is Mechalkos Kolon Kulo, and even the Chet HaEgel has a Tzad HaTov, Ayin Ramban, in Parshas Kisiso. Is Memela, the Torah says that a Chet, the Cheft of the Chet, engenders a Chiv of 40 Malkus. The Asu Rabbanon, the Rabbanon came along, the Ainu V'chol Nefashos Yisrael, and they looked at all the Nefashos, the souls and the essence of a Jew, even a criminal. As far as the Gavra is concerned, there is no such thing as Chet Sholem. In theory, you could have a Cheft of a Chet Sholem, and it engenders a Chiv of 40 Malkus. But befall, there ain't no such thing, because there's no Gavra, there's no Nefesh for Yisrael who's capable of a Chet Gom or a Chet Sholem. She'iyah kol ha'maisa rab alitzad tov. Al-Kain, Batsru Chada. Chachomim said we have to interpret and reduce it from 40 to 39. And that reduction of one Makkah symbolizes that every Jew, no matter how far he goes, has within him, and every Maisa, no matter how much of a Chet it is, has within it a Tzad HaTov. Okay, David Spiegel is telling me that Rabbi Reisman said something similar. No sin is 100% sin, and therefore only 39 malchus. I think he got it from the Eretz HaTzvi, I don't know. Either that or Shnei Nevi'im Misnabdim B'Signan Echad. I mean, but it's a beautiful presentation. I'd like you to take it home with you. If you did not receive the Maror Mekomos, in this case, please let me know. Again, I'm having some difficulties here with the scanner, but we'll find a way of getting it. All the Mefarshim agree that the Rambam is not talking about some sort of takono or siag de Rabbanon, but rather the way that the Rabbanon interpreted the Torah. But that's only on a level of pshat, and we saw in the Divrei Yechezkel what was bothering the Chachamim, and even the Maral about the separation between the words the Mispar and Arboim. But above and beyond that, there are deeper meanings. Whether it's the symbolic significance of the number 39, the 13 times 3, whether it means that this is someone who didn't reach Bina, and all the different interpretations that we had, which I think the most beautiful one of this is the Divrei Yechezkel, who says that the 40th Makkah, to be Mashlim, has to come from within. And I think it's wonderful. David adds that according to Rabbi Reisman, 40 years in the desert is also only 39, because in the 40th year people stop dying. Okay. I'm not sure which pasuk he's referring to,
But he wants to reduce it from 40 to 39. Right. Oh, you mean it says there in Parsha Shlach that they will die, Pigrechem will fall for 40 years, and in truth at the last year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was compassionate. Okay, Ravosa, I want to thank everyone for coming. Bobby and David and Chacham Daniel and Jeremy, and thank you very much. If you're up to it, I'd like to give a Mishmash Shia tomorrow night. Just keep me posted, and in general, let me know, you know, what your availability is, what your schedule is, so that we can get these wonderful opportunities to learn Torah together. Again, for you, it's a kind of a lunch year, you know, learning lunch. For me, as you can see, it's time for Ma'ariv and beyond. But it's just wonderful. And to be able to see all of you, it's Panecha Rohos, and here it's the Rebbe who's seeing the Talmid, maybe in that sense. I don't consider myself a Rebbe, but it's been a really great pleasure. So please keep in touch. Chacham Daniel, you want to speak a little bit louder?
Yeah. Who's the author of the Eretz HaTzvi?
The Eretz HaTzvi is one of these contemporaries who has an anthology of Perushim al HaTorah. See if you can get a hold of it. His name is Frumer. He's a very Frum guy. And if you get a hold of his Sfarim, I think you'll enjoy them. Don't buy them until you go through it, but this, I think, is a typical piece of his. And you see how creative he is. A very wonderful thinker and commentary on the Torah. Okay then, Rabosa, I'm going to go to Ma'ariv now. And please keep in touch. Thanks again to everyone. And Kol Tov.
Thank you
so much. Thank you so much.